The Germans came through at about 2:30 a.m., moving through a gap in the line and passing to the west until there were 150 yards to Johnson and Roberts' rear. At around 2:35 a.m., Johnson heard a noise and spun around to see Needham Roberts with his finger to his lips, indicating the need for quiet. Roberts gestured for Johnson to follow him. When they reached Roberts' observation salient, the two men peered over the top, rifles ready. Roberts pointed in the direction of the sound he'd heard a few moments before. Johnson braced his rifle with his left hand, holding a Veery pistol in his right, ready to send an illumination rocket 500 feet into the sky at the first provocation. He looked over his shoulder to locate a case of grenades resting next to the dugout floor. "There," Roberts whispered. "What?" They waited again, staring in the direction of the field of barbed wire protecting the enclosure from the rear. Johnson's heart pounded in his chest, and it was hard to swallow. They heard it again, the distinct, clipped, metallic sound a wire cutter makes when the blades meet. Johnson fired the rocket as Roberts began to yell, "Corporal of the Guard! Corporal of the Guard! Corporal of the Guard!" As the flare rose, Johnson saw the top coils of wire flash against the black sky, and then something like birds taking flight. It was a barrage of incoming hand grenades, or potato mashers, as they were called for their distinct shape. Each German grenade carried 10 grams of gunpowder, ignited by a percussive cap set off when the handle plunged into the canister. Sometimes, when a German grenade landed perfectly on its side, it failed to detonate. Johnson hit the dirt and covered his head as the grenades landed, each the equivalent of a tenth of a stick of dynamite. His eardrums thundered as dirt rained down all around him. He felt a sharp, stinging pain in his left leg, another in his side. When he sat up, he saw that Needham Roberts was hurt, bleeding from a head wound, but still throwing grenades out into the darkness from where he sat propped against the dugout door. Blood ran down the left side of his face. His left leg was soaked with blood from the waist down. Johnson had stood watch with Needham before and considered him a friend, above and beyond the bonds of common soldiers. Needham needed help. Johnson knew he was the only one in a position to render immediate assistance. He called out, "Corporal of the Guard!" again, even though the Germans were between the salient and the central dugout. The corporal and the two relief men waiting in the dugout with him were of no use, cut off by the raiding party. Johnson got to his feet, raised his rifle, and fired at a shape in the night. Something moved to his left, so he fired at it, too. He saw a German soldier rushing him from the right. He swung the rifle around quickly and fired his last bullet into the German's chest at point-blank range. He looked up and saw half a dozen Germans moving toward his right flank. To the left, he glimpsed an even larger group, perhaps 10 or 15 total.
"Corporal of the Guard! Corporal of the Guard!"
Another grenade landed and exploded harmlessly behind him. Needham was hurt badly but still pitching grenades into the darkness from a sitting position. Johnson looked up and saw a second German bearing down on him, firing a Luger pistol. There was no time to reload. A bullet caught him in the thigh just as he reversed his weapon to grab it by the barrel. He swung the lebel in a three-quarters overhead motion, catching the German squarely on the skull with the rifle's butt. Like the French, the Germans also didn't wear helmets when they went on raids, lest the metal of the helmet brush against an unseen branch or strand of barbed wire and make a telling sound. Instead, they wore soft, gray wool forage caps stitched in red. The Luger went off one last time. The bullet hit Johnson in the foot. The stunned German stood a moment, dazed, and managed to say in perfect English with an American accent, "The little black son of a bitch has got me," before falling next to his slain comrade. Johnson didn't know what to make of the fact that the man had spoken English with an American accent, but there were stories of Germans who'd grown up, lived, or gone to school in America and returned home to fight for the Kaiser.
"This little black son of a bitch will get you again if you get up," Johnson replied.
He called for the corporal again. Where was everybody? There were Germans everywhere. He heard shouts, both distant and near.
"Vorsicht! Garado! Zaruk!"
He heard gunfire and grenades accompanied by flames, smoke, and more shouts.